Let us pray. Father, your word says a couple of times today to prepare the way for the Lord. And as we have these days before Christmas during Advent, help us to hear that word, the good news of Jesus Christ born as one of us. We thank you for coming and saving us and being with us. You are God. You are the Son of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. It was 20 years ago on December 22nd. The family of Adam Mancuso in Long Island, New York, forgot all about Christmas because Adam was a special needs child, 4 years old. And he had an array of special needs. He had multiple physical and intellectual handicaps and challenges. At 4 years old, he had already been through numerous major surgeries, a battery of therapies, and several operations on both eyes. He wore braces to support his weak and shaky legs. And even at 4 years old, he could barely walk and had not developed a capacity for speech. The family had gotten a real scare because he had a very high temperature, and they took him to get checked and found that he had a tumor pressing against his organs inside. And his parents were told that he had to be operated on immediately the following day. This was in the afternoon, and it had begun to snow ferociously, like it can do in New York. And the roads were already starting to get blocked. They didn't have to be there until the following morning. But as they looked out the window, the parents became more and more anxious because they were seeing that they already could not get through the roads. And if the snow continued with the winds, they were not going to be able to get through for their son's surgery. And it was going to be a problem to delay the surgery. So they thought, why don't we call the county that oversees the snow plowing and see if there's any way they could get that plow out here. They were a ways out of the whatever on back roads, according to the story. And so the county did answer the phone, and they said, we were very sensitive to the need of your son, and we'd like to be able to help you, but we have to think of the safety and the concern of thousands of people in the city, and we have to do the major roads and thoroughfares first. And it was getting towards late afternoon, and they said, we can't possibly get to your area until noon tomorrow, and we're very sorry. So the family, like Janine was sharing with the children, they said, well, we can certainly pray. And so they prayed that God would help them get Adam to the hospital for surgery the following morning. And what do you know, pretty quick, they heard the unmistakable roar of a snowplow coming right down their street. So they hurried up and got in the car and took off, and they realized that snowplows have areas. They would do their area and then they would not go farther. So they had the road cleared to the edge of that particular area that the snowplow covered, and they took that. And then they got to the edge of where that snowplow went, and the roads were blocked once again. So they sat thinking, oh my, we could be here for a while. And they prayed once again. And what do you know? Another snowplow came. This time, it could have been a miracle. It could have been maybe the highway department told them to go there. Who knows? But this particular snowplow took them all the way to the hospital. And they were able to have their son's surgery the next day. And as the article is written, the child is 24 years old now, and he's had lots of challenges, but they did definitely survive that one. Talk about preparing the way, as the prophet Isaiah talks about it, and John the Baptizer talk about. They certainly needed the way prepared that day. They needed the way cleared. And their experience of getting ready for Christmas that year was something they would never forget. Each of us in our own lives needs to hear that word, prepare the way of the Lord. People often say, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And you've heard me say this, I always like to say, "Yeah, I'm ready. I wish you'd come today." And that may be a little snarky, but that's what I say. And if they don't know what that means, then I have to explain it to them. And that's always an opportunity. But it occurs to me to think about the... And I love this time of year. There's a lot going on for anybody and everybody who is able to get from place to place or to participate in things. And I do love this time of year, and I love all of the opportunities to give the real Christmas story, the reason for the season, the reason why we need to keep Christ in Christmas. Even something as simple as a beautiful tree. In fact, that one is so beautiful. Wow, nice job picking it out. I didn't know they made them that perfect, but anyway. As we make our preparations for Christmas, as we prepare for Christ to come, it occurs to me to compare preparing for Santa Claus to preparing for Jesus to come. Santa comes down your chimney, and Jesus came as the Son of God. Santa is limited to his sleigh, and Jesus is everywhere by his Holy Spirit. Santa sings, "Ho, ho, ho," and Jesus, when he came, the angels sang, "Glory to God on highest, joy to people on earth, and peace to people everywhere." Santa keeps a list to find out if you've been naughty or nice. Jesus knows you may have been naughty, but that's why he came, because he loves you, and he came not to condemn, but to save. Santa might very well bring you something that'll make you happy, but December 25th, after the wrappings are put away and some assembly required is done, the joy of that moment may begin to fade fairly fast, especially if you have to be in a line on December 26th exchanging it. And Santa will be pretty much unavailable after December 25th. But Jesus promises, "I am with you all days, even until the end of the age." He is everywhere all the time, always answers prayer, as Janine shared in the children's message. And so the comparisons go. There's all of the things that we do to celebrate Christmas and to enjoy this wonderful time of year are good and useful, and they can help us, as I say, to prepare the way of the Lord truly, as we can use, as I mentioned, the lights to remind us that we are to be the light of Christ. We can use the gift giving or receiving to remind us that, of course, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving and never stops giving. As we prepare to celebrate Jesus, we ourselves are made better persons. In many places, in many families, in many communities, in many stores even, there are events that are that genuinely remind us that people really do become a little bit better this time of year. It's people don't want to be seen as a Scrooge or as a bah humbug, although some people are happy to be that too. But there genuinely is a feeling in the air. There is genuinely an attempt that people make that is real, to be more joyful and to be more kind and more generous and sharing. And these are opportunities to remark on the presence of God and the presence of Jesus and why he came, and that it's so important, as John the Baptizer called out, to make his path straight. It is important, as he told the people that listened to him, to repent. It is important to reconcile with others, and as he said, to confess our sins. And also this time of year, if you have the need to get something out that you're not able to go to God directly with, believe it or not, Lutherans do still have individual confession. That's something Martin Luther never wanted to get rid of, and it still does exist. I've had the privilege of praying with a couple of people in recent weeks who really had to get some things off that have been on their hearts, in one case 22 years. And the person shared openly in Bible study after that it really is better, and that the resentment really is gone. These things are possible. The one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. There's plenty of sadness and negativity in the world and lots of negative news, but he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He came as a little baby boy, but nothing has ever been the same. And he is still on the throne, and he rules and reigns, and he will come back, and we don't know when, but we'd best be ready, as the scripture says. It could be today. It could be any day. It's always a day closer. And we love him and look for his return. Let us pray. Jesus, it is our privilege to know you and to love you and to receive you as you came, as a baby. And also as you ministered as an adult, as the Son of God, as Jesus, the Lord. And it's always good for us to be reminded that you will come back. In this second Sunday of Advent, we praise you and worship you. We thank you that you did come, that you are here, and that it is a joy and a delight to prepare for your second coming. Make us new. Make us more loving, better examples of your presence as we await your return. We love you, Lord. Amen.